The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Then Jesus went home, and the crowd came together again, so that Jesus and his disciples could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons, he casts out demons." And he calls them to him and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts help us to live and love like you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So obsessed does not even begin to describe my daughter's deep, deep love of Minnie Mouse. She has Minnie Mouse everything, clothes that we wear almost every single day, toys and books and stickers and coloring books, and I could sing the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse theme song in my sleep, and I'm pretty sure David would chime in as well. Now, in the last couple weeks, there's been a real game changer, though, in our household with the introduction of Daniel Tiger. Now, Minnie Mouse still rules the household, don't worry, but Daniel Tiger has been ruling our TV, and that's probably because David banned the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse until both of us would not sing it in our sleeps in unison. Now, if you don't know anything about Daniel Tiger, it's Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood is the show, and it comes from the Fred Rogers Company. And it's basically a modern-day version of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. All of the characters in the show come from Mr. Rogers' puppets. They're his children. They're the puppets' children. And Daniel, who is the main character, takes on Mr. Rogers' personality, wearing the same red sweater, the shoes, and even the watch to go with it. The theme song sounds a lot the same as well. So 2 weeks ago, I actually sat down to watch an episode with Eliana, because usually she watches it while I'm cooking dinner. And I thought to myself, listening to the theme of the episode, wow, that'll preach someday. I just didn't realize that it would be today. Because each episode takes on a different theme, like how to wait, playing with friends, sharing, what to do when you're mad or scared or have two feelings at once. So the theme for this episode was same and different. And there's always like a little song or a little jingle that helps the child remember what they've learned throughout the episode. And this little jingle went, "In some ways we are different, but in so many ways we are the same." And then it has a little girl who has braces on her legs and walks with crutches. And her and Daniel are talking about the ways they are different. You know, she has crutches and he has a fuzzy tail. And then they both like the color red. In some ways, we are different. But in so many ways, we are the same. Today in our gospel text, Jesus has been busy, even though we are only 3 chapters in to the Gospel of Mark. And he's been so busy that he needs to go home and take a little bit of a rest. There were already threats out against Jesus and his ministry and his life. So he goes home to look for some time away. But there's one little bitty problem. Jesus was on celebrity status. You can't just go around in that day and age healing people, facing off with the religious leaders, and casting out demons, and not be on the level of the Beatles in 1964. People followed Jesus everywhere, and they more or less like flocked to Jesus wherever he was. Our gospel tells us so much so that even him and the disciples couldn't leave the house that they were at to go out to get food. Jesus was a celebrity for sure. And then his family enters the picture because they've been hearing all these rumors that Jesus had gone out of his mind from people. His family was concerned, and they just wanted to see him, you know. It wasn't like they could pop onto social media and figure out what he was doing or email him or text him. They couldn't even call him or send snail mail, for that matter of fact. So they wanted to make sure that the rumors about Jesus being absolutely crazy, out of his mind, were not true. And the scripture actually tells us that they wanted to restrain him as well. And you know what? Even though I know who Jesus is, right? I sit on this side of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and I know that he's the Savior of the world, that he's God's only Son, that he is the resurrection, the way, and the life. I have a confession. Jesus was and still is crazy. Because what Jesus did, what Jesus said, how he acted, who he chose to be around and to love, it was a bit crazy, right? Jesus said things like, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness." That is crazy. Or, "The greatest among you will be a servant." That is crazy. "Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you." That is crazy. And last but not least, Jesus prayed while on the cross, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Now that is just truly crazy. The now famous Bishop Michael Curry, you know, the royal wedding preacher extraordinaire, says it in this way: "We need some Christians who are as crazy as the Lord, crazy enough to love like Jesus, to give like Jesus, to forgive like Jesus, to do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with God like Jesus. Crazy enough to dare to change the world from the nightmare it often is into something close to the dream that God dreams for it." And so maybe the craziest thing that Jesus says is yet to come, because the scribes come on to the scene and they start to call Jesus basically Satan. Beelzebul was a Philistine god that was later adopted on as the name of a demon or the devil or Satan. So they call Jesus Beelzebul, saying it is not in the name of God that he's casting out demons, but instead in the name of the demons themselves. And Jesus has the most honest and cutting answer. How can Satan cast out Satan? He basically says, if I was working in the name of Satan, wouldn't I try to possess people with Satan and not cast Satan out of them? If a kingdom is divided against itself, the kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, the house will not be able to stand. Jesus speaks such a word of truth to these scribes that it sounds crazy. If Satan started casting out Satan, then Satan would no longer be Satan, right? So this got me thinking this past week, how divided we are as a church. I am a firm believer that God grieves and God will continue to grieve until the time that we are one. The book of Ephesians in today's reading calls us exactly to this oneness. For Jesus is our peace. In his flesh, he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall that is the hostility between us. And because of that, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of God's household, built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord. God's crazy dream for us is to be one, realizing maybe what Daniel Tiger had to tell us as well. In some ways, we are different, but in so many ways, we are the same. Because when we work together as the Christian church, the big Christian church, the whole Christian church, all Christians around the world together, great and wonderful and miraculous things can happen. But when we act as a group divided, it gives just enough space and energy and life to allow the forces that oppose God's goodness to creep in, to settle in, and to divide us. Those forces keep us at a constant battle with one another over the most nitpicky little things and away from the things that make us the same: Jesus, the resurrection, the life, the way, our peace, and our salvation. But isn't it the truth that this is how the world works as well? We have lost the beauty of diversity. Being able to have diverse opinions and thoughts and deep, diverse conversations with one another. When we only listen to, when we only make friends with people who are just like us because it's comfortable, then we stop growing as people as well. And we have lost the art of true conversation and true thinking and true life rooted in God's diverse and beautiful creation. We were not all made the same by God, our Creator, and that is for a very, very good reason. So maybe the absolute craziest thing that we can do as Christians today is to reclaim Jesus' call for unity, to listen careful to Jesus' warning: if a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. So David and I, just in case you are worried, are not completely deprived of adult TV either. We recently finished up the second season of the series 13 Reasons Why. And if you know nothing about it, it is actually focused more towards teenagers, but it has some heavy, heavy content in it. It talks about real, real issues. And if you have not looked at your middle schoolers and high schoolers lately and told them that you love them, that they are enough, and that there is a God that is bigger than all of the stuff happening in this world, I encourage you to do so. Because I started watching this show because I wanted a safe space for my confirmation students or my high schoolers to come and talk about the deep issues that are rooted in their culture today. The series is based around a student's death after she's completed suicide. The whole first season made me so incredibly frustrated at the brokenness of these students in the wake of Hannah's death. The death and the tapes that she left, the 13 reasons why she made tapes out, left these students so divided. Friends against friends, relationships broken time and time again. No one speaking up, and therefore everyone more alone than ever before. The second season started out with some of that same disunity until something finally flipped for these students, and they realized maybe, just maybe, we are stronger together than we are apart. In the last episode, I won't ruin it for anybody, but in the last episode, there's this absolutely beautiful moment that happens. Clay is one of the main characters that the season focuses on, or that the series focuses on, and him and Hannah, the girl who had died, had this song together, and they're at their big spring fling dance, and this song comes on, and Clay slowly begins to walk to the middle of the dance floor, all by himself, hurting and broken. But something happens. The students that are around him that had walked this journey with him, they notice him. They notice him in his deep grief, and they come to him. They come in the center of the dance floor, and like I like to say, they just hug it out. There is weeping and there is crying in this beautiful moment of unity. I sat there and I wept because finally I got what I wanted out of the series. All the frustration I felt through two seasons had come to this beautiful moment of unity and of supporting one another. I'm pretty sure that God knows my frustration. God's dream is for us to be one. Jesus warns us that we are better together than we are apart, and yet we fail to make it a reality, and we have for centuries and centuries. So, brothers and sisters, this is God's call for us. This is God's charge for us today, to be crazy, crazy Christians. In a world of disunity, be the voice of unity, of oneness, of wholeness, of all of God's creation. In a world of dividedness, be the bridge builders and the people who work hand in hand. Be the ones who love at all cost. And in a world of diversity, embrace it. Learn from it and see God in the diversity of God's creation. Now you can start doing this in small, little ways, or you can start doing it in big ways. God just calls you to start somewhere. Amen.